This is an MUT Radio podcast.
Thank you so much for coming to us. We're still at Radisson Blue Hotel. That is where I am this afternoon. It's afternoon now.
Yeah, so afternoon. We've connected.
Yes, we've connected the mornings with the afternoons. And you asked for it, Velo, that this presentation, and it's Mr. Obololo is here to
give us.
Yes. That insight of the interview, conversation, yakking up that. In front of me, I do have Mr. Vuyisile Obololo joining us in studio. Thank you so much, sir, for joining us. We really appreciate your time.
Okay. Good afternoon to you, our two listeners.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate your time. Maybe let's start from the work that you do in the IP space.
Okay, the work that we do in the IP space, I work for the Technology Innovation Agency. So the Technology Innovation Agency is an agency of the Department of Science, Technology and Innovation. So we were the last entity really in the National System of Innovation to be added by the department concerned, and the reason was that we were established particularly to ensure that the intellectual property that gets generated from research that's funded by other departments, or that's funded even by our department, gets to eventually be commercialized. So so our work as the Technology Innovation Agency serves to take the intellectual property that has come out of research into the market. So that is the core of what we do. But with me working in the indigenous knowledge space, the work, the IP in question, always has got that kind of a relationship with indigenous knowledge.
Yes. Maybe let's reflect now to your presentation here on Gapagat. Maybe what was your conversation about your presentation, sir?
Okay, my conversation, it was mainly two things. I mean, it was just to highlight the progress that South Africa has made insofar as developing its legislation, policy towards regulating and managing indigenous knowledge-based innovation. And secondly, was to use case studies to say, these are South African case studies that talk to the interface between indigenous knowledge and intellectual property. Some of them, actually three of them, it's investments that TIA has made or projects that TIA has supported, and one is purely a social issue, for example, that talks to copyrights, where we talk about a song that was sung by Naledia Pure, and which got sampled by Chris Brown for his other song. So these are South African stories, and they help, by the way, for people to learn about indigenous, about IP or intellectual property, to know that it's not an abstract thing, but it's something that we experience in our daily lives.
You know, this one is very interesting, especially for us as South Africans, because there are many cases that we've encountered, not just the songs. Firstly, maybe let's highlight the songs. We've got indigenous songs as Africans. We've got indigenous attires. I don't know if you followed even the recent trends of Mzimkhulu and then the whole argument with regards to the indigenous attires. We've got indigenous knowledge, indigenous plants, all these things. Do you think they are protected enough? Do you think their IP is within the people that they share, or there still needs to be some education around that?
Yes, there needs to be some education around that. That's a very good point, because these are not stories or discussions that have been, you know, been part of our daily lives. But I mean, it's knowledge that comes, you know, from generations before us. But with modernization of everything, I mean, many people today, you know, do not have the attachment that we should be having, you know, to our identity, as it touches on the issue of culture, tradition, etc. So it is something that should be taught, and it's something that definitely should be spotlighted, so that people are able to identify with it in a way that they should take ownership of it.
Yes. And what was the recipient or here in Apagati with, in terms of the participants? I saw there was some group works as well. How did that go about, and was it understood based on your view?
Yes, no, I think it was understood, especially when they were given an opportunity to present. Although, I mean, it maybe we didn't have as much time as we have wanted for the case studies discussions within the groups, but I think I was quite happy, you know, to look at the different perspectives, different ways in which different groups, you know, processed that information and what they think should be happening in each of the cases. So I think it's something that they grasped, and I think that it's something that provoked also their thinking around issues of benefit sharing, issues of commercialization of IP that is associated with traditional knowledge.
Yes, definitely. No, thank you so much, Mr. Obrolo. Really appreciate your time.
Okay, thanks.
Yes, Velo, that was
This is an MUT Radio podcast.